welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Feature Interview. I don't even know if I have to say anything. The Beach Boys are back. JJ Carroll and Matt Torey. They've been here like 6, 10, 12 times. I don't know. Guys, do I really need to even interview? Should I just let you talk and give you stupid questions like what's your film about? Or, oh, wait, it's a TV series, season 3. And if you haven't seen the first two, you guys are both idiots. So go watch that, listen to those interviews, and then come back and listen to season 3. Hi, guys. Welcome.
How's it going, Simon? How you doing?
I'm good. I miss you guys. I didn't think this thing was ever going to show up at my doorstep.
It's been a while. Yeah, it took us longer for sure to finish this show than we would have expected. But we're happy that, you know, we're happy with the outcome.
Yeah, finally done.
Are you really happy with the outcome?
I think so, yeah.
But I feel this is very final. There is no season 4.
Yeah, unless
the end of it for now, at least.
We definitely wrote it as the end. I mean, unless Hulu or Netflix or someone wants to come in and say, hey, here's a bunch of money to make another season, then
I hope they do. Because, I mean, I miss these guys. I kind of feel I know all you guys better than I know you guys personally.
Well, it's funny. We wrote these, even though it's only coming out now, we wrote season 2 and 3 for the most part back together like 3 years ago. So it's been funny since then. All the time we'll have ideas for like, oh, we should have done this as an episode or this as an episode, or wouldn't it be funny to see the characters do this? So I would not be opposed to doing more of it, but I don't see it in the cards as of right now.
That's upsetting. So what are you guys going to do next?
We're actually working on working on our next show right now about Bigfoot and his best friend Jeff, who's a park ranger. So it's called Bigfoot and Jeff, and I'm playing Bigfoot, so I'm going to be in a real great Bigfoot suit, and then I'll be about 7 feet tall when it's all said and done, I think. And then
I think more than 7 feet, yeah,
more than 7 feet. And our guy playing Jeff is like 5'8". And I'm in Montana right now. I was actually up here doing a little bit of a location scout. So this is kind of the area that we're hoping to film at least part of it in.
Okay, before I even get into questions, I have to let that go. You're in Montana? Are you confused? Like, Californians don't go to Montana.
Well, I'm from Montana, so.
Oh, okay.
You know, so yeah, I'm one of the ones that they still let in every once in a while.
He's been grandfathered in.
Okay, I hope so. So let's get finally into the show, because nobody likes preamble but me, because I just find it too funny to go in. So let's start off at the beginning. Did you always want to do a morning show take? Like, is that like been your dream forever?
The morning show bit, I feel like that was the thing that came in pretty late, wasn't it, JJ?
Yeah, so we had, I think we had actually kind of finished writing the season, and then COVID hit, and then kind of like in the time period between when everything was shut down and when we finally started finishing all the parts that we missed of season 3, we had kind of toyed. Originally, it was just like newscasters, and then we're like, oh, what if we made this just kind of like more of like a morning show, kind of like more gravitas and just kind of like the tacky like hosts in the morning orange. And so, it was kind of an idea that came a little later.
And that actually was the very last thing we filmed of the whole show.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. We filmed that like a couple months ago.
Oh, wow.
Parts of season 3 were filmed back in 2019. So.
So, JJ, you were forced to play many characters this season.
Yes.
Now, do you feel that you like one more than the other, or you just get into character for each one? Like, do you think about a backstory being an actor, or you're just like, nope, that's what we're doing today. I'm just going to wing it.
I just kind of go in and wing it. And I think, I mean, so much of like the process of like with Matt and I, it's just like we just talk about it so much. So, and you know, when we're writing, it's like we already have a good idea of kind of who the character is, where it's going, and then we just kind of just roll into it from there. I think if it's, you know, when I'm not like personally like writing a project, like the process is a little bit different. I think there's a lot more conversations with the director and a lot more trying to figure out, okay, who really is this character. But I mean, with this, it's pretty easy to just kind of go in, all right, yeah, we think we know the tone, here we go, let's just go for it.
So I guess my next question is, Matt, you're barely in this season, but I'm going to get to you because you do show up finally later. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, I haven't forgotten you're here. How is it for you as a director and a writer? Do you write great? JJ will be good at this. The Trey character will be good at this. And then you step back and you're directing. So do you see your vision, or when the characters get on set, you adjust your writing vision? Obviously, you and JJ wrote scenes. But you, yeah, being a director, you see things differently now. But do you play with it at all on set? Or are you like, nope, that's the way we wrote it?
We definitely do both. I mean, I'm someone who very much likes to get an outline or get a very specific plan before we film something. But then when we're filming, that's part of the fun of being on a set or filming, is things surprise you and things happen, or someone says something funny and you're like, oh yeah, you should add that in. Or we definitely play around with it. I would say maybe 5 to 10% of things that happen in scenes or takes are improvised when we're filming.
Okay. Well, since you guys have added 8,000 characters to this season, mm-hmm, who is the funniest?
Who's the funniest? Oh, you can't. I can't. We can't say that. They're all funny. That's why we got them in it. So, I mean, Jack and Jamie, who play the two FBI agents, I mean, they're great. We filmed everything with them in one day. And basically the whole scene when they were all in the RV kind of talking and stuff with Trey and Ethan, that scene just took so long to film because everyone was laughing the whole time and you know, cracking each other up.
Mm-hmm. I got to say, I think that was probably one of the most like fun days that we had, just because it was everybody, I feel like everybody was just on their A game and like just riffing. And then it was just, it became kind of a bit where we're like, all right, let's try and, you know, throw in something to like make the other people break. And so that was a lot of fun. And I think we got some good gold from that.
So where did you guys find Dave Wu, and how bad did you try to stop him from speaking his real native tongue?
Dave Wu is just our friend Jimmy Wu that we went to college with.
Well, obviously, you guys made, I'm like, wow, are they going to get letters for this? Because I'm really, you've really taken them down in American English. And uh-huh, you guys got them like acting like an international student. There's got to be one.
Well, from the beginning, he didn't speak any English at all. So hopefully it's like over the course of the summer, he's kind of learned some English. So that's kind of the goal of it. But he had fun with it.
He learned it through Home Improvement and yeah. Tim Allen.
How many times did you shoot that scene?
Which scene?
The scene when he goes into the pool.
Oh, that was just once. That was one take.
Really? So there's no issue. Yeah. I was wondering, go on, because made me laugh.
He fell in, and then I said, hey, you got to hold your breath for the longest you possibly can, because we want it to be like you're just sitting in there motionless in the pool before Ethan comes around the corner. So he did good.
Okay. Since you brought the RV, I would have got there later, but that's fine. Whose RV is it, and who tight was it in there for you guys?
That was a friend of mine. I remember like he had posted a picture of an RV, and we were like thinking like, oh, what about we got to rent a van or something. And then literally like I had saw on Instagram, my friend was in an RV. I was like, oh, what about this? And then I just called him up. I was like, yo, Joe, can we use your RV? He said, absolutely. It's a beast. It's a tanker. It's hard to drive, but you're more than welcome to use it. And so it was, it was tough to drive and park, but once we got it all set up, it was good. It was a little tight.
But it was very tight. There were seven of us in there or whatever. The four actors and then me and Townsend and Clark, our sound guy.
Oh, we can't hear you there. I think you're on mute.
Oh my God, stupid computer.
Oh yeah.
Townsend's in the front and you guys are all in the back. No, Clark's in the front. You guys do that in the final.
What's that? I couldn't hear you.
Oh my God. It's not on mute. You guys should be able to hear me. Townsend is in the thing with me.
It's a little bit muffled.
What the hell? I don't know why. This is in the way. Townsend, never mind. Skip the question. Screw it. Dr. Shepard's dream cream. What is it? Is it like a sunscreen cream or what is it really?
It's like a self tanner. It's like a bronzer.
Okay, I was wondering that. Okay, how many shirts do you guys actually have? There's got to be more than one now.
How many shirts?
I mean, surprisingly, I think you and Zach and Josh, you wore the same shirt every day, so they only had one shirt.
I had a second one at some point, just because my first one, it was just like, I gained a little bit of weight between season one and the shooting of season two and three, so I had to bump from a large to an XL. So I had the two, and I was just I would wash them constantly, just because every shoot I would be like, all right, this thing smells like sunscreen and sweat, needs a good wash.
So you guys are doing season three in the same neighborhood. You've never changed neighborhoods that I'm aware of. Yeah. I do have a question about that later. Have the neighbors got annoyed with you guys yet?
I'll let JJ answer that. It's his neighborhood.
I know his neighborhood.
None of the neighbors got annoyed. My roommates did at the time. And so they were, I mean, I think partly, I mean, it is, I'll take the ownership. It is my fault because I just didn't tell them that we were filming one day. And then it was the day during season two where a bunch of people were coming and dancing in the street. So there was like 20 people showing up to our house. My roommate was like, what the hell's going on? And I was like, oh yeah. Meant to tell you that, but there's going to be 20 people here for the shoot today. And they're like, did you talk to the neighbors? And I was like, not really. And so I went and knocked on all the neighbors' doors. I was like, hey, just a heads up, we're going to be shooting this out here. And they're like, oh, cool. That's awesome. So they were very supportive, which was cool.
Everyone seemed very supportive whenever we were out and, filming anywhere.
What kind of chips would be constantly being eaten on set?
What kind of chip?
It's a green bag. You never show the picture. You eat it in two or three seats or chip bags.
That was I think it's late July jalapeno chips. It was like a big bag from Costco. One day when I was doing our craft service run, I saw it and it was like $3. And I was like, this looks good and it'll last a while. And it did. Lasted quite a while.
I can't resist. You guys referenced more films than I can imagine during it. I did make notes. You guys go back to Die Hard numerous times and it's funny. So unless you're a Die Hard fanatic, you will not get it. So. Number two, Fargo.
Uh-huh.
The Les Mis joke was hysterical. And that was the hardest one to get.
Which one?
The Les Mis joke when you guys parodied Les Mis with the music.
Oh,
yeah.
That was a tough one. It took me a few seconds to figure out where you guys. I know I should know this song. 48 Hours. Home Improvement. Back to the Future. What did I miss?
There's probably, I have to think about it. I know we reference a lot of things. 1917, yeah. The whole one take episode.
No, 1498. When he's going to watch the film, that was your joke, and I'm like, we'll let that one go.
Uh huh. Well, that whole episode was kind of a parody because it's all one take, let me see. I have to think of what else.
Oh, and I guess there's the poor wayfaring stranger at the end of the 1917 episode, just kind of like. That same kind of shot where at the end of 1917, he's sitting by the tree and the song comes on.
So are these all movies you guys love? I mean, Die Hard, like Back to the Future, yes, but Les Mis?
For the most part, I think we, sometimes they're just funny things to reference. But I think most of the time, if we have like an episode that's a parody of something like even the one where Todd is stuck in the pool filter, which is kind of a parody of 127 hours.
Nah, I wrote 47 hours. So I couldn't remember the name of the movie. Yeah. I knew the movie.
Like those are movies we like. And it's just kind of, a lot of those just come out of ideas of what would be funny for the characters to do or to happen to them. And it just kind of naturally, we're big movie fans or whatever. So that's where our brains go, you know?
Now, how long did Todd have to lie on that pool floor and get his arm technically twisted?
He probably was there at least 4 hours often. Mm-hmm. I mean, for that episode.
Brutal. And that was a brutally hot day from what I remember.
Yeah.
You guys are screwing up. So what did you guys learn? 3 seasons. You guys have done it a lot. You know these characters. You've written these characters. I mean, my personal opinion, JJ, I think you guys get it now in season 3 from season 1. Matt, your directing's much more crisp. I find you know what you're doing now. Does that make more sense?
Well, that's a nice compliment. Thank you.
It's a very nice compliment because I've watched everything you've done, so I can honestly say that. And JJ, you seem more comfortable in your character. Is that true? That you've played with him?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the first, like, you know, I think back to the first season, and that was just kind of like, we're just, you know, winging it. Let's go. And then I think even from 1 to 2, it's like we took just kind of some of the feedback from people of like, oh, hey, he's a little too harsh. And it's like, hey, how can we write an arc for this character? And I think when we started writing the arc, that kind of helped me to understand more too of like, okay, this guy is like, you know, more than just being a dick. Like he's just kind of insecure and, you know, he's got a lot of things just kind of in his own life that he's, you know, dealing with. But, and then I just think like the kind of through that time, I just feel like I grew so much as an actor and just like became more comfortable on screen and just became more comfortable in just kind of the absurd situations. And, So I just feel like from a writing standpoint, I feel like we just grew a ton. It was just such a great experience across the board.
And I'd like to say the same about the other people on the show too. I mean, especially I'll point out Zach, who plays Ethan, and Josh, who plays Todd. I think both of them are very good, but over the course of the 3 seasons, I was very impressed with them as well. Mm-hmm. They really found their characters.
Well, as a reviewer and seeing you guys through 3 seasons and seeing your other show, the Blockbuster Show, which I keep hearing the name of, you guys have grown, I think, really, in just the way you approach things. You guys find you approach things differently now.
I don't know
if I'd say differently. I think it's like, I think we still have the same approach. I just think we have more reps under our belt and I think we've seen kind of what works in our, like in our voices. And like, I think we've had some swings and misses, but, I feel like now I just have a better understanding of what is going to work on screen.
Yeah. I think definitely that, you know, just over time, it comes with more comfortability of what we're doing. Like, you know, making 3 seasons of a show, you just get in the rhythm of what it is. But I think as for the approach, I mean, I think we're just what makes us laugh. That's our approach, you know.
And how's the editing process? Do you guys find this easier now after editing for so long?
The editing is brutal. I hate it. It's my least favorite part of filmmaking, and I wish I never had to do it.
I kind of agree with podcasting on the exact approach.
Editing is a whole, like, it's so interesting, though. I mean, I love the theory of it. I love watching something come together. I love the first 5% when you're starting to put all the clips together. I love the last 5% when you see it actually as its final product. But the middle is just so monotonous and going over takes over again and adjusting audio and color and all this stuff it's a lot of work that people don't even realize, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I want to give a shout out to Matt because he does like more work than anybody, than all of us combined, and like spending hours and hours and hours just editing and then dealing with me being like, can I see a take? Can I see something? Can I see something? I see something. And then he just, all right, here you go. Here you go. But yeah, I think the final product is, you know, so worth it. You just did an incredible job.
So when you guys are writing, do you guys do any editing while you're writing? Obviously, you have a writing process. Your script is done. Do you go back, JJ, or is there a final person? Do you do reread it and go, yeah, we're good. Let's put that to bed.
I would, Matt's kind of the, like, the the final like sign off in. I mean, he's the better writer of us anyways too. So it's like, he'll kind of,
but
like,
we're always editing things. We're always changing things and working on it. Even up till the day we're filming, we'll change lines on set. If you know, something doesn't sounds kind of off, like, hey, what if you said it this way instead? Or
we'll pivot if it's like, oh, hey, like, I don't know if we're going to be able to do this how we envisioned it. But I will say, for the most part, like, everything that we wrote, even kind of some of the big ideas that we had of like, oh, I don't know how we're going to make this happen. For the most part, I would say, Matt, 95% or more of the ideas that we had, like, we actually were able to do, even the ones that we
thought. There's nothing we wrote that we didn't do. There's only, you know, things with any filmmaking that you have to adjust or change or pivot. Like, you know, when we write things like, oh, there's two FBI agents in a van. Oh, we can't get a van. Okay, we get an RV. Or just like season one, when we wrote them, originally they were going to be driving around the neighborhood in a golf cart, and that just kind of wasn't feasible. So we changed it to a smart car, and that was actually better. So it's just kind of stuff like that.
Okay. I'm going back to this thing. Carl's house. Did we see the backyard before?
I don't believe so, before season three.
Okay. That's what I thought. So whose house is this one? Cause I don't think we've seen this house before. It's not the house you read, JJ.
We have not seen that. That one was like actually not in our neighborhood. So a friend of ours, we posted on Instagram. We're like, hey, in desperate need of a house with a pool, who's available? And one of our friends who actually was in season two in the AA dance choir in the street, they messaged us, hey, my parents have this house, and they sent us pictures. We're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is perfect. And so we took them up on it.
Oh, see, I don't think I noticed these things. You guys need weird houses going on there.
Thought we could sneak it past you, Simon. We thought we could.
I'm sure it came up. I'm sure Matt's been waiting for these questions. He knows I only go through these. I don't want to let go of the music. I thought the music was fantastic this episode. I thought you guys stepped up your game. So good work. That's for me.
I'm very happy with all the music. I mean, basically most of the music is just stuff that we find and license. You know, it's not stuff that someone made specifically for the show. So,
well, good work then. Good work.
Other than, of course, the songs that we wrote, like the Tim Allen Day episode music. Yeah.
So how was it recording people that I'm going to get in trouble? Don't sing very well.
You can say it. His name is Josh.
Sorry, Josh. It was a little
fun. He knows. No, that was fun. So one of my best friends has a studio, and he's incredible. He is actually in the show too. Tiago Jericho, he plays Gustavo. But he's a phenomenal, just phenomenal, like, producer. And so I was like, hey, can we come into the studio and, you know, you record Josh? And so we did one take, and then Tiago was like, okay, so here's what I'm going to do. Like, he did a little bit of like pitch correction, but he's like, I'm leaving some of the imperfections just for, you know, it kind of added some charm to it.
Well, we can't let you off the hook on this comment, JJ. You quite have a singing voice too.
I do sing.
Yeah. You're tapped. Yes, I'll leave it at that. Did you guys go to Amazon to get the IP and pull hat?
Where did you get that hat, JJ?
I was on Amazon.
Yeah.
I'm prepared for that answer. Now, I do have my notes. Mom returned.
Yes, I knew you. She's your favorite. I knew you were going to ask about it.
Favorite. She never comes on my show, but I'm always asking about it. Because one thing I'm watching and listening back, it is me.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're going to be able to talk for JJ, and I think that's your mom. And it's my side. I don't know if she sounds like her mom. But Matt's mom is everything. So I look for Matt's mom.
Yeah.
She's an icon.
It's true. So, Matt, how does your mom relate to being an actor? Like, I'm probably her only biggest fan. So.
I mean, she would not call herself an actor. She just loves being, she just loves seeing what I'm working on and being a part of it. Like, she'll love to, you know, this one was more difficult because we filmed it in LA, and she, you know, I'm from Sacramento, so that's where she lives. But they came down a couple times to be part of it. So we had to get her in, you know?
Okay, the location of the debate, we've not used this set before. So is it starting the school or like, I don't know where it was. It's been many places.
It was actually shot at a church stage.
Okay.
So yeah, a church that Josh actually used to work at. And so it's like, hey, and then actually the classroom scene was there too.
Yeah.
So, the end. Did you guys have so much fun writing your debate theme?
The debate one was a fun one, yeah, because we just threw in those extra characters and had a lot of fun with their interactions.
It seemed you guys took everything that annoyed you and threw it into that debate.
Definitely, yeah. There's some, you know, some references to politicians who, you know, I won't name.
Now, I do have to ask, when is Paint with Reginald Van Johnson show starting?
It's in production.
People listening may not even know what that's for. That's just such a throwaway joke on the debate episode on screen.
That is not a throwaway joke. That is the best joke. Baby laughs so hard.
Good.
Stop your short. Rewind to make sure I read what I told you.
Yeah. Well, you're the audience for that joke then. I don't know. No one else has mentioned it. So
I told you that. I told you that. And then the Beatrice funeral replay, like that just like killed me.
Yeah.
Remember Matt just threw that
in. You guys have actually been on other shows besides mine?
Well, like people who have seen it, or like we had a big premiere in LA with a bunch of people and.
Nobody got the Reginald Van Johnson joke.
Well, no one referenced it. I don't know. Probably people did, but no one has mentioned it.
Even you, Frank, got it. I'm mostly upset. Nobody knows who Reginald Van Johnson is.
Hopefully when it's, you know, it's streaming, more people will see it and we'll get some Reginald Van Johnson comments.
I hope so. Where did you find that national anthem singer?
That's one of my good friends, Mike Singh, and he's one of the funniest people I know. And so I asked him, I was like, Mike, will you come in, wear a polo shirt that's too tight, and then just go ham on the national anthem? And he went real long.
We trimmed it down quite a bit. It feels like we still wanted it to feel uncomfortably long. So I think it's like a minute on the episode, but we filmed it like four times, and each time he went like about 3 minutes or so.
It is emotionally uncomfortable. I will totally give you that. Did you film the black and white episode in color and switch to black and white, or was it shot in black?
Yeah, that's just like, we didn't change cameras or nothing. It's just was filmed with the same camera and changed it to black and white.
So how is shooting that, Matt? Like, you know it's going to be in black and white. You've made the decision, and you really try to soften up the episode. Like, literally soften it up, as opposed to stand out as a different episode.
Uh-huh. That one, I mean, I don't really have a good answer for that, other than it's just kind of we wanted that episode to have all kinds of funny, you know, the joke keeps going at the end, that they keep going back and further in time, and just the black and white seemed to make it funnier because it's supposed to be during the 50s or whatever. So to be honest, we didn't really film it any different. I just knew, I said, hey, we're going to do this in black and white. So it doesn't really, you know, the colors you're wearing or whatever don't really matter. But
are you talking about the last episode, or are you talking about our first kiss?
The first kiss.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were referencing the part where JJ plays his grandfather.
No, I'm going to get there later. That's near the end.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that went right over my head. Yeah, the black and white one.
I was like, wait a minute. I don't remember being a part of that one.
The black and white. Yeah. Yes, we actually did film that with a different camera. And I, if I remember right, that was actually an episode we added later. That was not originally in the season. And mm-hmm. So we filmed that later. That was one of the last things filmed because we thought that'd be kind of just a fun, sweet thing to add because we don't really see Doris much in season three.
Yeah.
And Townsend, our camera operator, he was busy. I just filmed that myself with a little camera, not with the same camera the rest of the series is shot on.
And then I think, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the it was planned to be different. I think there was actually originally supposed to be audio.
Yes.
And
yes.
then audio got corrupted. And so it was like, oh, great. So now what do we do? So we just
pivot. That's an example of having to pivot. That episode, they had lines. And we filmed it. And when we were done, we realized the audio file somehow got corrupted and it was gone. So we were thinking, oh, man, what are we going to do? We don't want to have to go shoot this again. Are we going to have to do ADR for all these lines? And I was just playing around with it, and I said, you know what? This actually would work if we just kind of do this, because it's already going to be in, you know, kind of like we want it to feel like an old movie. What if we just have it be silent the whole time? And I think it actually is better. That's an example of something where a mistake or whatever actually makes it better, because I think that episode is the better for it. You kind of play with the sound, where at the end they can hear sound where that wasn't originally an idea and stuff. So yeah, that was a very happy accident.
So I can't let this go, because you guys really hammer this throughout your season. Tim Allendale. Why do you start with Tim Allendale?
Well, I think, you know, the joke in season one was Todd was obsessed with Home Improvement, and then we kind of just dug that joke into the ground as we kept going. Season two, he tries to reboot Home Improvement. And season three, we were like, how can we top this? And I don't even know what the genesis of the idea was, but basically it was like, hey, we need to do a Christmas episode. That's kind of a kind of episode that we haven't done, but it's summer. This is all supposed to be taking place over summer. So how can we do this? And we were thinking about it, and we said, hey, what if he like celebrated Tim Allen's birthday like it's Christmas? And that was just the idea. And
so
then
I had to look up Tim Allen's birthday first.
Yeah. And it worked. It worked. It was during the summer. So.
And we had our premiere in LA, the Sunday before his birthday was on a Tuesday, I think. So we had it, on the Sunday before his birthday, and just told everybody, hey, celebrate this Tuesday, Tim Allen Day.
Our hope is that you never see June 13th the same again. You always celebrate.
I don't think I will for now on.
Yeah.
Who's Todd's Christmas sweater? Who gave him that one? Is that his own?
The Christmas sweater, that's funny, actually. That's a sweater I got from Amazon incorrectly that I did not order. So they sent to the wrong person. And so I just got that Christmas sweater, and we had him wear it in the episode.
Three props. Oh, good. How did editing of the podcast? And I did pay attention closely to the editing of the podcast. Really well done. I was
glad with that. JJ's friend did some music for it. Mm-hmm. And then, it actually was one of the easier episodes to edit because it's just audio, you know.
We wanted to, like when we first started the podcast episode, gosh, I think this was like, yeah, we wrote that one in 2019. And I think that was like when Serial was like really hot too. And so we're like, oh, let's just kind of like do a tip of the hat to that. And so I sent the Serial theme to my friend Kenny. And I said, hey, can you make us something that, you know, sounds kind of like this? And he did one take, and I was like, this is perfect. And then I tried to channel the, on the voice, I tried to channel kind of the same kind of cadence as Sarah Koenig.
What if I told you that? Yeah.
So you guys do a little bit. You go backwards here a bit, and you give us some background ahead of time. You do a weird episode of Where Are They Now, pretty much. So I don't want to go. I just want to go a couple things, guys. I think that I'm so hysterical, so I don't want to ruin it for anybody. But
okay.
Going around a couple questions. There's an audition tape of early outtakes. Was that filmed now, or those really audition tapes from way back then?
Those were filmed now. We didn't do auditions. We just.
Yeah, those were things of like people like who like our friends like along the way that we've run into have been like, oh my gosh, either like, I love that, or I want to be a part of it. We're like, hey, this is an easy way to get you in.
Okay. That's a good question. The Beach Boys, the Beach Bums painting in the book cover.
Yeah. That's, believe it or not, that was partially an AI created image. And then I edited it and made it better.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
A little rough.
It's supposed to look like, you know, those kind of old paintings of the classics where they re-release them and they, you know, you read them in school and stuff.
That's exactly what it looks like to me. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble for... Unfortunately, you kill one of my favorite characters. How did that come to fruition?
And we're not talking about Dottie?
We're not talking about Dottie. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm trying to remember who...
Near the end, you knock off somebody else. Never mind.
He's still Gosh, wait.
Wait, was that one of your that died?
Do you bring him back?
Oh, okay, of course.
I'm trying not to ruin it.
Yes. I think I know what you're referencing, but they're not. By the time the show's over, they're not dead, right?
Correct. That is what I'm trying to get at.
Yes.
So was that always the plan?
No. If we don't want to give any spoilers, I don't know
how. I'm not giving any spoilers now because I think the season's brilliant, but I don't want to.
Yeah. So I'll just say that in that episode, when that happens, that was not originally the plan. That whole episode was, you know, an idea later. That we said that this would be a proper way to take it and raises the stakes.
Now, do people ever tell you guys are too cruel to Todd?
Todd himself, Josh, does.
Yeah.
Does he? You make me laugh.
It's kind of just a running joke now. We try to think of ways we can torture him, whether that's the character or on set. What kind of weird things can we do to him? Like just have him, you know, sit under under the rain as he's playing violin, or
drink a bunch of milk,
wear a neck brace for a whole season.
Yeah, now it's just become the running bit. He texted us the other day because he was on another shoot, and he's like, "Yeah, guys, like this is it's all good so far. They haven't you know, made me go underwater. They haven't kicked me, tased me, or you know, he's going to made a bit about that. But we're always thinking of ways that we can torture him."
Well, it's his own fault because he's very funny to watch be tortured.
Yeah. If he wouldn't have done a good job in those scenes in the original, then we would have stopped. But he did so great. We're like, all right, let's keep going with this.
Whose children? I forgot to ask.
Who's what?
Children. You have two children in the Tim Allen scene that are attempting to slay.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
So that's Lily and Chloe. And so I don't know if you know the meme of like the girl in the car seat kind of like looking like that. Like it's
no, she's like not impressed. That's her.
That's her.
Really?
Yeah. So
and they were in season 2 as well, if you remember, but they were much younger because we filmed it a few years before.
Mm-hmm. I probably asked, but it was a while ago since I asked some of these questions. Finally, Matt, by the end of the season, you finally decide to show up.
Yes.
For a long period of time. Why is that?
Well, I mean, Cedric is fun to play. We had to get him involved somehow, but also just being honest, I didn't want me to be in it a lot because we filmed this so quickly and stuff that like, I feel like when I'm in it, like it takes a lot longer to film and it's not as efficient because I have to spend my time thinking about how to act or get in costume or whatever, as opposed to just being like, hey, here's what we're doing. You guys need to be focused on this, making sure that the shot is done right and stuff. I enjoy being in it, but I always knew the last season we wanted to focus mainly on Todd, Trey, and Ethan and kind of the three of them.
Okay. There's a weird question. Was there something you wanted to do this season, but you never got around to it?
That's a good question. I feel like we've talked about many things that we're like, oh, wouldn't it have been fun to see Trey and Ethan do this or that? I mean, we're always having ideas, but I think the thing that's cool about it is we put a lot of our just crazy, dumb ideas in it and they're in it. So, mm-hmm. The one that I wanted to do always, but we never really found a way to do it was I always wanted to do a mock trial episode, kind of like a Law and Order parody. I think it'd just be funny to see like Josh as Todd pretending to be a lawyer or something. I don't know what they would be. arguing or whatever, but it didn't really fit anywhere.
Yeah. The I think the one that, like, it almost didn't happen, but I'm so glad that it ended up happening was the like kind of the retrospective episode of, like, I mean, we had had that idea kind of in 2019 when we were writing, and it was one that we're like, oh, I don't know if we can make it happen. I don't know if we can make it happen. And then just kind of towards the end, we're like, oh, hey, what if we did this, 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 and this, and brought in like a Maria Menounos character. And so really, I think that for me is probably my favorite episode that we've done.
That was one of our wildest ideas for sure, of like, hey, what if we did this and we actually did it? So.
Okay. Bush Cheney, O4Spoon. Who had this in the garage?
That was mine. I've had that since then. And I guess I know why now. It's been in my closet.
Wait, which one?
The Bush Cheney 04 sign.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. We're getting near the end. I'm going to put a small spoiler warning for people ahead of time. I am going to spend the last sentence. Just the premise of it. Can I have a couple questions?
Yeah.
Working out of a certain thing that happened, how long did it take you guys to work it out? The mechanics of it.
Like the whole, like how it works in the last episode?
I think it's been pretty good, though, not for doing it.
Not as long as you would think. I mean, kind of the joke of it is that it doesn't really make sense if you think about it. But
it makes no sense. I did think about it and try to work it out.
I remember exactly when we wrote that episode. We were trying to think of, how are we going to write the final episode? What's it going to be about? How can we make something that's kind of different than the other episodes, but still is a nice conclusion? And I don't even remember why we started talking about time travel or whatever, but well, you can put the spoiler alert on it. But
I did.
We were like, hey, this is so dumb, and I don't know if it would even work, but that's definitely something that would be different and raise the stakes. Mm-hmm. And then we were just like, hey, it's a swing. Let's try it.
Yeah. At first, I'll be honest, at first I was like a little bit hesitant, but the more that we talked about it, I was like, okay, this actually, like, this could be really good. And Matt just had like a really great vision for it. And I mean, we talked about the mechanics of it, and then I remember a couple times we were talking, oh, what about this? And then we found a loophole, and it's like, well, that doesn't work. And then I remember we watched Bill and Ted, you know, the scene with the keys. It's like, oh, I just placed the keys right here. And then it's just like that kind of like gave a little bit of inspiration of, I guess, okay, you don't have to overthink it here. It's just kind of, you know, hopefully people will accept
the
it.
The audience doesn't not find it entertaining if they don't have the exact blueprint of how it all works. You know what I mean?
Now, I have a weird question here, because I should have gone back to check. Did the smart car change colors in the last scene?
Hey, you caught it. No one else has caught it yet, but we...
Because it was supposed to be red, was it not? And now it's blue. And I wrote my notes like, I'm convinced that's a different color.
We had a smart car that we used for the first two seasons.
Yes, it's not the same car.
And the guy who rented it to us no longer had it. So we were like, oh no, what are we going to do? And we found another smart car that was blue, but it's dark blue instead of light blue. And so far, no one has said anything. So we thought we got away with it, but
sorry, guys.
Yeah,
Buster. I knew something was wrong, and I couldn't figure out what it was. Like, it's gotta be the color.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty so.
I thought you guys were playing with the signs. I'm like, nope, same signs. Like, it took me for, and I didn't figure it out until the last episode.
Yeah.
Like, you guys changed the car.
Well, there's scenes it goes back and forth. It's not like, oh, it starts at this time where it's a new car, like, because we film things out of order.
There's scenes in two that are from season two that are in season three with the car.
I don't remember. There might be a shot or two from season two that had the new car in it, but mm-hmm. I know there's some shots from season three with the old car in it.
So that was it. You guys were playing with me. So I didn't
We're playing with you because Kevin sold his smart car, which
Kevin.
Kevin from the podcast to work hard on this, trying to figure out what was bugging him the whole season.
Well, I'll take that as a positive. The only guy to figure out the smart car issue. Matt's like, of course, son, figured it out because he studies this crap and it's nothing else to do with his life. So it doesn't. Since you guys have been on here so many times, I had to make up really weird questions.
It's great.
Okay, your favorite breakfast cereal?
Oh, hands down, Waffle Crisp.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it's the best. I remember as a kid, I would actually have it up here, like at this cabin in Montana all the time. And then they discontinued it for years and they brought it back like, three years ago or so, and it's like in like certain Walmarts, but Waffle Crisp, it's the best.
I'm gonna say I don't think I've ever had Waffle Crisp.
It's very good.
Matt, same question.
That's a hard one. I'm a big breakfast cereal fan, but
I know because you do reference it during Captain Crunch, is that?
Yeah, I think my favorite's going to be Cinnamon Toast Crunch,
which we do have in Canada. So
I have
that Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Now, again, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. Is it supposed to say favorite soda?
I think we answered that. Yeah,
you did answer this last time.
I remember talking about favorite soda and favorite snack at the movies.
Ah, crap! That was like 7 years ago. Okay, then I'll make a new question. Favorite film that nobody ever watches? You guys always recommend to them.
I have an immediate answer for this because it's a movie that JJ, me and him talk about it all the time, but it's a movie that pretty much no one else ever has seen whenever I mention it. It's called Brigsby Bear.
Is that the Mark Hamill
film? Mark Hamill is in it, and it stars Kyle Mooney. He was on SNL.
I have seen that. Came out a couple of years ago, didn't it?
Came out like right before COVID, I think. Yeah.
It's a good try. You tried to sneak one in on me, didn't you?
17?
Yeah.
Go ahead. You got your own. He has his.
I feel like, I mean, my favorite movie, like the amount of people that I talk to who still haven't seen it is crazy to me because I always thought it was the best is What About Bob? I think I even said that on one
you
of the
guys people. Okay, here's the problem. You guys are too young for What About Bob. That's my generation of film.
Comedy is timeless.
Comedy is timeless.
True.
Okay. Oh, another one is It's Pat.
Oh my God, you're going back to that terrible SNL movie?
Yes.
Charles Rocket?
I remember just like when I was a kid, I thought that was so funny. I haven't watched it in years, so I don't know. I don't think it'll hold up, but
okay, I don't even think I've heard of this movie. What it's called? It's Packed?
It's Pat. With Saturday Night Live movies of everything. It was about,
I don't know,
is she a woman or a man? We're never supposed to know.
Yeah.
And it's just, she's sort of androgynous and she has friends, her neighbor Chris and like Toby, like names that we don't know which way they go.
Yeah.
And
it's that's the whole movie. It was an old Julia Sweeney character.
That's correct.
I think she did it at Groundlings and then did it on SNL. Right. And totally like, correct. I remember that movie as a kid. Yeah, I haven't watched it in years. I definitely don't think it would hold up. But
and Charles Rocket spends the whole movie trying to figure out that.
Yeah, and then it's like it kind of like in the Coneheads era.
Yes. Another terrible movie.
Yeah.
Favorite film of last year?
I'd have to think about it. Was Top Gun last year? That's the cliche answer, but that was probably my favorite movie last year.
That's fine. You can have Top Gun. That's your favorite film. Yeah. That's fine.
Let's see here. I might actually say Jackass Forever.
Which one of my friends would say the same thing. He loves
that movie. I love Jackass. Like those movies, like I can watch them anytime. I think they're so funny. And then the fourth one, even though it was so like crazy and over the top, like there was this strange, like,
It was heartwarming.
Let's do it. And I was like, gosh, I cannot believe that this is heartwarming.
I miss Bam, though. I do miss Bam.
No, yeah.
Kat, I'm going to let you guys go for the first time. I'm going to see you guys forever. So my last question is, are you guys going to come back and bring me something different? Not from either of you two. Not a collab. Like, you've already told us you're working on something new, and I don't think Matt's involved in that, JJ. So
We wrote it together. Yeah,
get you guys back together.
Yeah, we're stuck together at least for right now.
So, have you guys ever thought, last question, to go your own ways for a little while?
We've both worked on things, you know, separate, but I mean, I think we found that we're a good partnership so we like to work on things together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think when it comes to like, at least like the stuff, like I'll do acting projects, like kind of, on the side or unrelated. But when it comes to like stuff that we produce, I just think, we found a really great groove, and I think we're just trying to build that and take it as far as we can. And hopefully we keep just growing and where people see our stuff.
Well, before we let you go, you know you have to tell everybody where they can find this show, which I did not ruin.
It is on Tubi. So all three seasons, I don't know when this will air, but the third season should be out any day now. But you can watch The Beach Boys on Tubi. Also on our website if you want to. It's just goodcleanfuntv.com.
Anything else, JJ, before I kick you out of here?
Follow us on Instagram, Cook Clean Fun TV, and YouTube as well.
And we have some fun things coming out soon, hopefully. So we'll be awesome. Talking to you again soon.
Goodbye, guys.
All right. See ya.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to that interview with Simon. Can you please rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify? And if you have any extra change, feel free for you to send it to us at PayPal, and that's extrafeatures@gmail.com on PayPal. Thank you. Bye.